In John chapter 20, so if you'll find that and stand with me, we'll read our text this morning. John chapter 20. We're getting close to finishing up the book of John. Pray with me as we get close to the end that the Lord would give his direction on what we would do next after we complete John. I have a few things in mind as to what we would study, but and I was thinking, you know, it was. This is kind of a neat thought. I think it was this. I have a little bit of an echo.
Echo.
Thank you. Is the echo gone now? Good job. I was thinking about it this morning, in fact, because I was praying, Lord, what would you have us to do after we complete the book of John? We just have one chapter left, and what book would you have us to study next? And I know he's going to lead. I don't know just what he wants next. I know he's going to lead to the next. But this was the thought that I had that was so neat. That because of whatever we study from God's word next, somebody's going to get saved.
Amen.
Isn't that a cool thought?
Amen.
It's not because of me or because of anything other than it's God's word and the power of his word.
Amen.
And because of what he does through his word, somebody's going to get saved. And so you pray with me that God would lead just to that book that could change and will change somebody's life. And I get to study all through it myself, and it's going to change my life, and I just look forward to it. Just like this. All right, let's look at verse number 20 of chapter, verse 30 of chapter 20. Sorry. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Let's read verse number 31 altogether. Let's begin. "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Amen. This morning, we are going to be talking about health to our soul. Health to our soul. And we need this morning because there are some sick people here today. I'm like, yeah, you're right, Pastor. I'm not feeling too great. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I think you know what I mean. Let's pray. Father, we need you today. I pray for your grace. Guide us in your path, Lord. As that song we just sang, you'll give us grace, and Father, as we struggle and through those difficult seasons and we don't understand why you allow these things, your grace is sufficient and you teach us valuable lessons. Sometimes we don't learn or realize that you're teaching us until years later, but we know you're faithful and that you're there and you can heal, Lord. And so we ask today that you would help us, first of all, to see, and that's all of us from all the way up here, all the way to the back pew and every person that's under the teaching and preaching of your word this morning. I pray you'd help us to see our need. And then, Lord, help us to have courage to take a step of faith and obedience. And we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We were privileged on Friday to attend Miss Stephanie Leader's bell ringing ceremony there at the Cancer Treatment Center. And it's a monumental moment with anybody who's going through the treatments, and you get to the end of the road. And for Stephanie, there's still a little bit to be done so that we can say that she's out of the woods per se, and so we need to be in prayer for Stephanie. But that was a blessing to be there for her and to have the group of people that were there and to hear the ringing of the bell was special. It was a blessing to hear that. And the excitement that was in her through that process too. It reminds me, Brother Harding had been with us for those months when he and Miss Joe were here and he was dealing with his cancer. And then he had that day when it was the last day and he rang the bell and we rejoiced along with him. With the bell ringing, and now he's back in Washington, D.C., and I just talked with him last week on the phone for about 45 minutes, just catching up. He feels like this is his church family away from home, and I said, well, I don't know, maybe the Lord just needs to transplant you. Anyway, I tease him about that, but it was a blessing to visit, but I brought him up to say that he was able to ring the bell too, and The idea there is that somebody who rings the bell, they've made it through the treatments, they've received all the medical care, and for some, it's to say, you're healed from this infirmity, you're healed from this disease. We have reached to that point when we've killed that disease and we're ringing the bell in triumph over that, you know, over that infirmity. Well, there are people today who need to ring the bell, but not because of their physical health. There are people who need to ring the bell because they have a spiritual need. There's spiritual sickness in their soul. And they need Jesus to do a work in them to bring a healing to them. A healing of an infirmity that's plaguing us, that's causing us to stray, that's a sin that's in our life that's causing us to be away from the Lord and sin sick. I was mentioning just a moment ago, sometimes, you know, the sickness, the sin sickness and the soul sickness that people feel, they're blind to it. They don't even see their own needs. And to me, this is one of the saddest parts about being a pastor and seeing a world that's lost and that needs Jesus. We tease about it, but it's not really a teasing thing. That there are angry people in the world. There are people that are sin sick. There are people that they operate in this life and they only know how to operate according to their own focus, to their own service, taking care of themselves, keeping number one. And because of that, they're empty and they're lost and there's sadness and there's anger and there's frustration and all of these things reign in this world. I was just at the coffee place the other day and the person standing behind me, I hadn't been helped yet and I was patiently, happily waiting there. I'm at a coffee place. I don't have a lot to be upset about. You know, I don't care how long I have to stand here. I'm going to get my coffee, you know, and I had a good attitude, but the lady behind me, she did not have a good attitude and she was telling me about, you know, her bad attitude. And so you're like, have they not helped you yet? I'm like, no, they haven't. Looks like they're a little bit busy. And then she folded her arms and then she cuffed and then she was breathing heavily. And I was just great. I was so great. I mean, because I'm first in line and, you know, she's behind me. And so and then she just turned around and just stormed out, you know. And then the guy who took my order, you know, he noticed all of this and he thanked me for my patience. And I'm like, thank you for being here, you know, that's what I said. And thank you for having coffee, you know. And he made I could tell that he was putting a little extra care in the, because, you know, I was a happy person. I don't know why I'm going on and on about this, but let me finish. I was going somewhere with it. And they gave me, I always ask for extra coconut milk, and they only give you this much, which is never enough. But, I mean, this guy filled up the cup with coconut milk. I'm like, this is what I am talking about, right? My point is there are angry people. There are people who are lost, and they think the reason why they're upset is because everybody else is slow, or everybody else is the problem. If you weren't the problem, then I wouldn't be upset. But here's the problem that they have that they don't see is that they're sin sick. And we live in a sin sick world, a world that needs Jesus, a world that needs to hear the gospel, a world that needs to come to a place like this and experience people like that are in this room and understand what real joy is, understand what real, you know, peace and happiness is, because that's what Jesus can do in your life. As a matter of fact, you might be here this morning and you have been frustrated. You've been disappointed. You've been angry. You've allowed some of that world to get in you, and now you've not had the kind of health spiritually that you should have. Let me tell you, you're in the right place this morning. Amen. Because Jesus is the healer. He's the great healer. And maybe you don't see it. And there's a lot of people in the world that don't see it. But he can help us this morning by opening our eyes. You know, it's interesting in the scriptures leading up to this passage in the Gospel of John. In our first verse here, in verse number 30, he talked about the signs, many signs, or miracles, wonders, miraculous things that Jesus did. And they're not even articulated. They're not dictated in this book. They're not scripted for us to read. I mean, what miracles? Wouldn't you have liked to have seen it? I mean, we're going to, have to get to heaven. We talked about heaven in Sunday school this morning. We're going to need to get to heaven and talk to the disciples or even Jesus and maybe learn a little bit more about some of the miracles we don't know about. But there were those that were in Jesus' day who saw the miracles and didn't believe. That's amazing to me. Isn't it to you? There were those that saw the miracles who didn't believe in Jesus but could not deny that this is God doing this. Nicodemus, remember him? He said, we know that thou art a man come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's what Nicodemus said. He wasn't a believer, but he couldn't deny that God was doing a work through the miracles of Jesus. But then there were those that saw the miracles of Jesus, the same miracles, and said he's doing it in the power of Satan. And what people need this morning is God to help our eyes to be open, to see his work, to see what he's doing, to see his healing. And that's really what John is saying here. Look at verse 30 with me. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So there are miracles Jesus did that aren't written, but why would John tell us that here? He doesn't plan to tell us the miracles that Jesus did that aren't written. So why would he even say this? The reason why is because this is really actually amazing. When you study the scripture, things like this, you might just breeze over it. But here's what John is actually saying. He's saying, here's what I want you to do when you read through the Gospel of John. I want you to think about the miracles that are there because I selected them to report to you. There's a lot I could have said, but I didn't tell you those things. The miracles I did tell you about, John is saying, I selected them for a purpose. There's a reason I gave those miracles to you. Oh, I can't wait to know. No, don't get ahead of me. That's the next verse. But let's think about a few of the miracles Jesus did, just recorded in the Gospel of John. Remember in John 6, don't turn there, but when Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and he made a miracle take place by feeding everyone. I feel like in my family, a miracle happens every single time we have a meal. It's like, there's enough food. It's amazing. You know, when you have 4 teenage boys, right? So Jesus made the food. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to come down here. This is so good. So Jesus made, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, enough food to feed 5,000 people plus the families. So you fast forward, Jesus walks on the water in the same chapter, and then they get to the other side, and all of those 5,000 plus Jesus had fed follow Jesus either across or tracking around the Sea of Galilee. They found him, and when they found him, they wanted more food. Remember that? They said, give us some more food. But Jesus says, I'm not giving you any more food. Do you know why he said that? He said this, I'm the bread. So when Jesus fed the 5,000, really what he was saying to them, it wasn't, I'll feed you. What he was saying is, I'm the bread. Fast forward to chapter 9, Jesus takes some dirt, puts it in his hand, and spits in it and makes some clay. He takes that and he puts it on the eyes of the blind man, and he goes to the pool and he washes it off. And when he washes it off, he's able to see. And Jesus did that miracle to make this statement. I am the light of the world. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the bread. Jesus said, I'm the light. And so the miracles that Jesus did in the scriptures was to say that he is the way. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus plainly said, I am the way. Amen. The kids are having a good time over there, aren't they? Mercy. Makes me feel like I'm not as excited as I should be. We'll get amped up here in a few minutes. Amen. Do you know in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, before Abraham was, you say it. I am. Ooh, that was terrible. Let's try again. Before Abraham was,
I am.
Did you know Jesus said, I am 7 times in the Gospel of John? He said, I'm the bread. I'm going to miss all these. So I wrote them down so I wouldn't get them right. He said, I'm the bread. We talked about that. He said, I'm the light. Do you know he also said, I'm the door? He said, I'm the vine. He said, I'm the way. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, I am the resurrection. Yeah. Jesus is the way. He is the answer. He's the one who brings health. He's the one who brings salvation. He's the hope for mankind. He's the reason why John is delivering this message at all, so that man can know that there's a Savior and there's a hope and there's a way for salvation and reconciliation to the Father. Amen. It's because of the message of the gospel. See, I think sometimes people think that it's all about the healing that Jesus can do to us physically. But every time you see in the scripture that Jesus heals somebody physically, he's not doing it so that they might feel better. He wants them to know that he can heal them in a greater way. And any health that God gives us, he wants us to understand that there's a greater health. A healing to our soul. Look at verse number 31. But these are written that ye might believe. These miracles, these things that I wrote you, the things that I could have said but I didn't, but the ones that I did say are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So here John tells us that the miracles and the works of Jesus, the signs and the wonders that are recorded here, are so that mankind would see that Jesus is the Son of God, would see that he's the Messiah, the fulfillment of Scripture, that he's the way, he's the reason why that people can be, he's the reason people can be saved. But then he said this, so that you might have life. Life would mean he would bring salvation. He would make our soul go from death to life. He would make us born again. That would be the purpose of the message of John. I want to show you something that I think might blow your socks off. It did me, so maybe it will you. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16. There say, Amen.
Amen.
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And look at this last phrase here, and healed all that were sick. So, I mean, that's kind of a broad caveat there at the end. He cast out the devils, and then it says he healed all that were sick. And when the message of Jesus and his healing ministry is being broadcasted, I think that you would agree with me that probably the popularity of Jesus and his ministry was spreading. And so that sick and those that were needing to be healed, the diseased, were being brought to Jesus. And so here, as Matthew is reporting about what he had seen, is Jesus is not just casting out the devils, but he's healing anyone who comes of their infirmity. He's healing the sick. Now here's what I want you to see. Look at verse number 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So here's what Matthew does. Matthew takes the miracles of Jesus, Brother Larry, and he sees the work of Jesus as Jesus is healing people. Like people that are sick, he heals them. And that's amazing enough. But then how Matthew reports it back, what he sees through his spiritual eye, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. If you're a Bible reader and you understand prophecy, and Isaiah chapter 53 was a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, that Jesus would come and he would die on the cross. And when you read Isaiah 53, it's almost as though you're reading the record of Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. But it was written 700 years before Jesus came to die for our sins. Here's where this gets amazing to me. That Matthew sees the miracles of Jesus and the healing ministry of Jesus. And here's what Matthew sees. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 53, that Jesus came to heal us of our sicknesses. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come to this earth to make us feel better?
No.
Is that why he came? Did Jesus come to this earth to heal us of our diseases. No. When you read Isaiah 53, you would never read it that way. When you read Isaiah 53, you would always and only read it that Jesus came to die for our what?
Sin.
Our sins. So here's what Matthew is doing. When he sees the miracle ministry of Jesus, that this is illustrating the reason Jesus came. Which blows my mind. Did you know that the miracle ministry of Jesus was just an illustration of the real reason he came? Every single person, every blind person, Jesus was really saying this, I can make you see. And every person that was lame, Jesus made them to walk. He says, and I can make you walk. But he's not talking about physical health. He's talking about spiritual health. And so the point is this, that Jesus didn't come to this earth to heal us of our infirmities, but to heal us from our sin sickness. To heal us from our true disease, and that our soul is lost, and our soul is dying, and what we need is Jesus to heal our soul. And that's why he came, to heal our soul. There was a lady, her name's Tammy, and she was a member of the church there in Nebraska. And she's one of the very few members of the church in Nebraska who didn't get saved at the church. She was saved as a young person, and that was her testimony. And she, so she joined the church and she was serving and active. And she was at her house vacuuming her carpet in her living room. And she was praying while she was vacuuming because she felt empty. She felt overcome. But what was interesting to her in that moment is that she had perpetually been feeling empty. And she had been constantly feeling like she's missing something. And it was then, while vacuuming, that God struck her and said, it's because you're not really saved. She turned the vacuum off, set it up, knelt, she was in the living room already, knelt by her couch, asked the Lord to save her.
Amen.
Stood up, grabbed her car keys, walked to the car, and drove straight to the church, and with tear-filled eyes told me that story, that she just got saved.
Amen.
There was an emptiness there because she needed healing. There was a lostness there because she needed Christ to heal her. And there are some this morning, this is what you need. This is what God is wanting to help you see. He's wanting your eyes to be opened. He's wanting to heal you. He's wanting to come into your heart and save you. There are those that are here this morning. You're lost. And God wants you to see it. He wants you to see your condition. He wants you to finally realize, why am I empty? Why can I find nothing in this life? Why do I have everything yet nothing? And God wants you to see because you're sick. And only I can heal you. I didn't come to make you feel better. I didn't come just to pat you on the back. No, your soul is sick. Your soul is empty and lost. And Jesus came to bring healing to your soul. He wants to save you. And that might be who you are this morning. As a matter of fact, I can say with a level of confidence that there are some this morning, that's what you are.
Amen.
You need Christ to heal you. I prayed for you this morning, by the way. Maybe not by name, but I prayed for you that are lost, that God, first of all, would open your eyes and help you to see. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I think I'm okay. Did you know that there were Jews who said that Jesus was doing his miracles by the power of Satan? They were convinced of it, and they thought they knew God. So could it be true that there are some this morning that perhaps you're here and you would argue that you're okay because you have God in your life, but yet God's trying to break through to help you to see that there's an emptiness there because your sin has made you sick and separated you and there's only one who can heal you? It might be that this morning that's where you are. And God wants to show you that. He wants to help you see that. And I prayed for you about that this morning. Not only that you would see, but that you would have courage. Because it's one thing to be pricked, as Brother Ian had mentioned earlier, that God pricks us. He does prick us. First of all, He pricks us that we need to be saved. And that God's pricking you, it doesn't mean that God's going to teleport you to the front to get it settled. He's not going to pick you up and, you know, transport you up to the altar or to the person to talk to help you to know how you can get saved and get it settled and know for sure that heaven's your home. No. He's going to prick you, and now you're going to have to make a choice to turn your heart to Christ. You're going to have to make a choice to repent and give your heart to Him. And if you won't do that, then you'll remain lost. And so you could be pricked this morning. You could have been being pricked for the past several weeks and know that you're lost and know that you need to be saved and know that you're sin sick and leave this place in the same condition that you came. Amen. I prayed for you that you'd have courage this morning. Some of you, that's all you need. Because you already know that you're sick. You already know because God already showed you. Oh yeah, all those sinful things that the preacher talks about, that's not just out there. That's where you are. And there's sickness in your soul, and you need to turn your heart to Christ. And God has already revealed that to you. And all you need this morning is not affirmation. You don't need any more affirmation. You don't need any more confirmation. God's already done that. He's pricked you. All you need now is courage. And I pray that you'd have courage. Can I encourage you maybe the way Jesus would when He said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Can I beckon you to come as Jesus would? That you would come with courage? He'd say, "Well, you know, what will people think? Who cares what anyone thinks? Amen. I don't care what anyone thinks." That's what Brother Richard said. He's sick this morning, unfortunately. But Brother Richard, after Tuesday night, Thanksgiving service and meal, and we just had a fun night that night, Brother Richard came to me and he said, "Pastor, we need to talk." I asked him if I could say this to you already. So, he said, "We need to talk." I said, "Sure, let's go talk." Went to the office and we sat down together. And he said, "Pastor, I feel that God's pressing me." As soon as he said that, I thought, God's pressing you. Okay. So we just talked about the gospel for a few minutes. And then we got to the end of that talk about the gospel. And then I said this to Brother Richard. I said, "Brother Richard, you said just a minute ago that God's pressing you. Whenever you said God's pressing you, did you mean that God's talking to you?" He said, "Yes, that's what I mean. God's talking to me." I said, "If God's talking to you, what's He saying?" "I need to be saved." Did you know that's some of you this morning? I mean it. Some of you this morning, God's pressing you. He's already pricking you. He's already talking to you. As a matter of fact, if I was to ask you that question this morning, what's He saying? Then you would say, like Brother Richard, "I need to be saved." So you have everything you need. You just need courage to come and get it settled. And I prayed for you about that. Let me also say that there are some this morning, you're already saved, but you've been walking away from God. And you know what? When you walk out in the cold and you don't have a jacket and you're just staying out there in the cold, you're going to get sick. And there are some that are living in this world and you don't have the proper attire. You're not clothed with righteousness like you should be. You're not girded with the armor of God. And you go out into this world and you're exposed to the elements, and you guess what will happen to you? You can't lose your salvation, and that's in you. And by the way, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there to bring you back. But here's the point. You can get out in this world and you can get away from God and you will get sin sick. And there might be some this morning, that's where you are. You haven't lost your salvation, but you're sad. You haven't lost your salvation, but you're discouraged. And there's anguish in your soul, and you're like, "I'm saved and I shouldn't be this way." But you are. Yep. Yep. You know what you need this morning? You need God to open your eyes. Yes.
Come on, preacher.
You need Him to open your eyes. We come to this place, I said it earlier this morning, I forgot who I was talking to, but you know what we often do when we're at church? We see how everybody else needs this sermon, except us.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh man, I sure wish so-and-so was here."
Yeah.
And so-and-so actually is a person.
Yeah.
That would be a funny name to name somebody, though. "This is my son, so-and-so." No. God is wanting to open your eyes. He's wanting you to see. What you need this morning is Him to heal you. But we wait. I've said this story before, but I want to say it again because it fits, and this is how we'll finish. When Grant was 6 weeks old, he had bronchiolitis and RSV, and it was very severe. He couldn't breathe. And we had not experienced that up till then, and so we were trying to help him to breathe, and we went into the, you know, we turned the hot water on in the shower and got it, you know, the steam, thank you, and we took him in there, and we were trying to help him to, you know, to be able to breathe, open him up a little bit. It wasn't working, and he started to turn purple. And when he started to turn purple, we frantically took him to the ER. And he was suffering. He was laboring to breathe. Even on the way to the ER, we knew we had waited too long. And so we get to the ER, and they rush him in. And one of the most difficult sights for me to ever see was Grant, the six-week baby on a gurney the size of an adult with about seven doctors around him trying to help him to breathe better. That one of the lead doctors came out and said, we can't help him. We're going to have to fly him to Children's Mercy. And, we just want to make sure you know that this is what is about to happen. So they strapped him to this gurney, and our six-week-old baby was carried to the helicopter, which was being fired up and put in. And we thought for sure one of us would get to ride, but no, you can't ride in the helicopter. We had to drive. And it was a 45-minute, it felt like 45 days to get to the hospital. And we didn't know anything, whether he would still be alive when we got there or, you know, if things would be, we didn't know. And so we just prayed and we sought God, and we gave him to the Lord, and we cried a lot and we repented. Believe me, when there's sin in there, something like this is going to bring you all the way to the altar, all the way right. And any unconfessed sin, it's all coming out, because God, we just need you. We need you. We get to the hospital and he's in his room. There's not even a nurse in there. He's fine. He's back to his color and actually completely back to his old self, which is a little stinker, you know? Some things never change, but you know, there are some of us, like I mentioned already, that are sin sick. My question for you is this: are you going to wait until you're purple before you come and get healed? Are you going to wait until there's devastation in your life before you come and ask God for healing? He wants you to come this morning. The imagery of all of the miracles was to say this: I made the blind to see, but I can make you see. I made the lame to walk, but I can make you walk. I healed all of these people because I can heal your soul. You're empty, I can fill you. You're down and I can lift you. Everything you need, I can do for you. I'm the healer, Jesus says.
Amen.
But before we can come, we have to see that we're sick. Before you can come to be healed, you have to see that you need to be healed. And God will help you see. And it might be some of you, he's already shown you. Now it's up to you. God, give me courage. Some of you, I remember that story I told about Stacy. I think this was like last week. Stacy needed to be saved. She knew she needed to be saved. And I'm just going to say it again. She came to the altar, but I didn't see her. And then because I didn't see her, she got frustrated. I'm like, well, Pastor didn't even see me. So she just walked up onto the platform. And I'm standing here and she's standing right by me. Here's the thing. Here's the point. She knew she needed to be saved. And there's some of you that you already know. You just need to come. Let me encourage you about that this morning. To take courage, to come and get it settled. And for those that need God to heal you of a sin sickness, would you come this morning and ask him to heal you? God, I don't want to have this emptiness in my life anymore. Would you feel me? And he will.